are going to be at 2 Timothy 1, and while you're turning there, we're going to go ahead and do some memes of the week, some funny things of the week, just to give you time to turn there. So here's the first thing. Some of you need to know this. You need this reminder. April is Procrastination Awareness Month. So we wanted to remind you of that. Some of you, it's taken a minute here. So here you go. For all of our teachers, you know, we just had Howard Payne graduation. We know that we have other schools. So this is for our English teacher that's here in the room. The student says, can I do something to raise my grade? Teacher, it's May. Student, sorry, may I do something to raise my grade? Yeah, how many of you want to admit that, you know, 2 weeks before school got out, you went, oh, I'm going to fail if I don't do something. And then you go and talk to your teacher and say, may I do something? Okay. How about this meme right here? This is sad because you realize something actually happened for the sign to be needed. The sign, it's a ladies' room, and it says, no horses allowed in bathrooms. It even says, anyone found washing a horse in this bathroom will be charged cleaning costs. Think about it. Something had to happen for them to put that sign up there. It's a head scratcher. Okay, one last one today. Just in honor of this past week, there's the Cinco de Mayo. So there you go. All right, so that's your memes of the week. So in the meantime, I love talking about family, and I love talking about Scripture. And I want us to see something here in 2 Timothy, starting in verse 1. I want to go ahead and start reading these. I want to read these first 6 verses. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Boy, there's so many great things in that passage. We're not going to have time to unpack them all, that's for sure. But I love the very first thing you see, because what is it you see? You see Paul's love for Timothy. Isn't this pretty amazing? Did you see what he calls him? What does Paul call Timothy? My dearly loved son. This is actually the second letter that he's written to Timothy. And the very first, in the first book that he wrote, he just says, Timothy, my son in the faith. But here, Paul, he's a little bit older. This is one of the last letters that Paul writes in his life that we're aware of. He knows that the end is coming, the end of his life. And he writes to Timothy and he goes, you are my dearly loved son. Now, Paul and Timothy were not related biologically. Paul is not Timothy's father. He's not his biological dad. But yet there's something about this relationship that Paul goes, man, Timothy, you are like a son to me. You are so important to me. And look at this prayer that he prays for him. Isn't it pretty incredible to know that the greatest missionary that's ever lived is praying for you? Imagine how that made young Timothy feel to know that this giant that he saw as Paul, this huge person that he saw as Paul, loves him so much and is praying for him. And Paul says that he serves God with a clear conscience. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. In serving Jesus, he's got this clear conscience. He doesn't feel like he's got those regrets that are just eating away at him. And regrets and things eating away at you, that's kind of a part of life, isn't it? Isn't that something that seems like sometimes you're defined by those things that keep you awake at night? Those things that you go, I wish this had been different. I wish I had done something different. I wish I had acted differently. But Paul here is saying, look, I serve God with a clear conscience when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. I love that picture. He says, I thank God. Notice the way he's written this. I thank God when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. And stuck in the middle, he says, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. When Paul thinks about how he is invested in a later generation, when Paul thinks about how he is invested and loved on a guy that needed him, his conscience is clear in that moment. Well, I'm sure Paul has regrets. I'm sure Paul has things that he wishes he could take back. You know he does. But yet in this, he's got a clear conscience when he constantly remembers Timothy in his prayers. And notice he's praying for him all the time, right? He doesn't just love him, he's praying for him night and day. There's not an hour that goes by that Paul's not awake that he's praying for Timothy, this man that he's kind of taken under his wing. Now, that really says something about the need to be praying for others, doesn't it? That really says, man, I just got to be honest, right? If your prayer life is kind of like mine, you think that you need to pray a lot for God to be able to get the message. But Paul, oh, you just said it once and you'd think, okay, well, that's good enough, right? I'd be like, oh, well, this is Paul. If he prayed, it's going to happen. But if David's going to pray for it, he needs to pray again and again and again and again and again and again, and again, right? You know, that type of thing. But here, Paul is going, look, I'm just praying day and night. Y'all, our prayer life matters. And we need to be praying for younger generations. We need to be praying for these babies that we saw here today. And it's not just lip service. It's not just something we're saying, but it's something we need to be doing. Y'all need to be praying for the people that are sitting on the aisle with you when you go through this week. You need to be praying for the person that was sitting behind you, singing off key, right? Pray for them as you go through this week. Pray for your boss when they drive you crazy and you just are so frustrated with them. You have a responsibility to pray for them and pray good things for them, not pray that they, you know, quit their job and you don't have to deal with them, right? You're responsible to pray good things. And I just love this picture. But notice he remembers something about Timothy. He's going, I constantly remember you. He's remembering Timothy's tears. Notice where he goes on from here. He says, remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I recall your sincere faith. We're going to pick it up here in a minute. But here's Paul, and he's talking, and he goes, you know, when I think about you, I remember how much you cared. I remember the tears. I remember the heartache. I remember just the love that you have for whatever's going on. Maybe it's hard times. Maybe it's whatever it is. But this is what sticks out to Paul as he thinks about Timothy. He goes, I remember your tears. And I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. You see the other thing he remembers? His sincere faith. And I love this picture because Paul's going, man, when I think of this guy, I think of his tears, but I think of his faith. I think of those two things going hand in hand. And this is what I love. He says, I recall your sincere faith. And from here, Paul is going to talk about that incredible, remarkable influence of family. Because notice, he's going to continue on and he says, remembering your tears, I long to see that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And now I am convinced is in you. Generational faith has gone on here. This is very special to me. My grandmother's name was Lois. One of my grandmothers was Lois. And so every time I read this, I kind of feel this little connection with Timothy. You know, I kind of feel, hey, my grandmother was Lois, and she loved Jesus as well, too. She poured Jesus into me. But I see this incredible picture here that you've got Lois, who has a daughter named Eunice, and she grows to love Jesus. And Lois and Eunice together are telling it to Timothy. They're sharing this Jesus with him that they love, that they know. And it's pretty great. When you actually, you learn more about Timothy and Mark, I mean, in Acts chapter 16. I want you to see this. Let's put this up here on the screen. Acts 16 verses 1 through 5. It says, Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra where there was a disciple named Timothy. Notice here when Paul meets him, is Timothy a Christian already? Say yes. Okay, because I have like 3 minutes, so say yes. Thank you. All right. A disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. What does that mean? That means his mom is a Christian and his dad is not. That's the way that they're saying this here. The brothers and the sisters of Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. And Paul wanted Timothy to go with him. So here's this incredible picture. You've got this idea of Timothy, whose mom loves Jesus and his dad doesn't. You know, does that describe our world today, you think? Man, I want to say all this to say if you're someone who you're a mom or you're a dad and you're a Christian and the other parent isn't, that can be tough. That makes things difficult. And it's hard to try and represent Jesus when it feels like you're even fighting a downhill battle from the very start. And if that's you, I want you to know that this is the picture that we see in Timothy. The dad doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, but mom has come to accept Jesus, and she loves Jesus, and the grandmother loves Jesus. You know, you can be a Christian representative in a split household. Don't compromise your faith, first of all. The most important thing is don't compromise your faith. Don't let that go. Don't let Jesus get kicked out of your house. But then don't give up, because you are a hope bringer. Did you hear someone say that when we were looking at the three questions? That it pointed out that Jesus is our hope, that God is our hope. And you are that hope bringer to your kids, to the kids in your neighborhood, to your nieces, your nephews, your grandchildren. For the kid that lives next door, you are a hope bringer. And you can't lose sight about all of that. You know, one of the most definitive verses about the Bible itself was actually found in when Paul writes to Timothy. But I want you to see this. Here's what I want you to see. This is 2 Timothy 3:16. And notice what it says. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so the work of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is like the most definitive verse about scripture. I think this is the thing that we think about. But Paul started talking about this two verses before. And I want you to understand the context that he says this in. Let's go back to verse 14. He says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed. Now notice this. He says, you know those who taught you. And you know that from infancy you have known the sacred scripture, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it's useful, and it completes you. It equips you for every good work. But before Paul states that, he says, you learned this from your mom. You learned this from your grandmother. You learned this from Paul. You learned this from these sort of people that had influence over your life. Y'all, I hope that you do not ever lose sight of how influential you can be, how huge you can be in the spiritual formation of others. Y'all, we do things like Vacation Bible School. Do you know why we do that? Because it makes a difference. I'm just curious here. How many of you, by show of hands, how many of you accepted Jesus as Vacation Bible School? You see that? There's hands that went up all over this place. Probably 5, 6 hands, something like that. 7 hands, maybe something like that. Imagine how different their lives would be if it wasn't for Vacation Bible School. Do you know why we do that? Because it works. Because it's helpful. Because it shows people Jesus. And that's what this world so desperately needs. It needs Christian employees. It needs Christian mom and dads. It needs Christian teachers and Christian lawyers and Christian neighbors. It needs you. God will use you this week as long as you'll just say, God, I'm yours. Do with me what you want. And we hope that you'll do that this week. Let's have a word of prayer. God, we thank you for people like Paul that invested in others. We thank you for Lois and for Eunice, how they invested in their son, their grandson, and how that, even that life, the life of Timothy, has made a difference in mine, and it's made a difference in so many of our lives that are even here represented today. Thank you that you use us to point other people to you. Remind us of that every single day. And as we go through our life this week, remind us that we are walking and talking representatives of you. Be with us this week, for it's your name we pray. Amen.